Rubber Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. An overcast and cloudy. It looks sort of wintry, but I mean it's not anywhere near that. But it does feel a little cooler because it's breezy and overcast. We're probably going to get some rain tonight. Last time I looked, just about the time that the Auburn basketball game is going to be wrapping up, I saw the percentage go from like 15 to 70%. So may get a little rain overnight. Looks like rain again tomorrow, and temperatures a little cooler. But as we head into the weekend, it looks like nice weather and a little cooler than we've been. So, I mean, that is perfectly fine. It is not exactly frigid weather here as we approach the middle of November. Welcome in, everybody. It is the Wednesday Drive. Dan is once again off with the Troy women's basketball team. He will be back on Friday. They have a game tomorrow, so it's a travel day today. Coach Don Dunn is joining us, filling in for Dan. Don, how you doing?
Doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And it's Wednesday. That means Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover is with us, and he's in the studio as well. Hey, JC, how's it going?
Doing good. Yeah, you're right. It's a little cool, a little breezy. And then I went out and watched a little baseball, so it kind of feels exactly like baseball season now for them.
Like
so
the start of baseball.
It sure does.
Because this is the...
Or maybe a month into baseball.
Well, you're right.
Cold enough for the start of baseball.
No,
yeah.
Not near as cold as it is when it starts. Yeah, and this is the wrap-up World Series, the coaches' selected teams. How are things going today?
Yeah, just I think I saw a couple of innings, but kind of the same pitching. Pitching kind of sets up the same way. It was freshman versus freshman today, Andres Alvarez. Righty versus Jackson Sanders, lefty from Valley. So those two guys, Ike Iris had a RBI single in the first inning for I think the blue team this time he's on. So that was the only scoring I'd seen to this point. So yes, a couple of freshmen starting should be. I think Friday would be Cade Fisher and Sam Dutton. So two guys the veteran transfer guys, that should be a pretty good one to watch on Friday.
And then they wrap it up on Sunday. Today is the early signing. It's the early signing period for all sports other than football.
Other than football, it's everybody else. So we've seen seen women's basketball announcing signees. Soccer announced all of theirs. Women's golf had a couple of big signees. We've seen all those sports. I wrote this morning about baseball. They're smaller class for them, only nine, because they just got the entire class in.
Right.
And the question for a lot of these sports is going to be, what exactly does your roster limit, scholarship limit, how many scholarships are you going to have to give? That's still going to be a question mark.
It is crazy that it has gotten to the signing period and nobody – I'm sure they have a pretty good idea, but there is still no firm, here's what the roster limit's going to be.
I mean, if you asked me a month and a half ago, baseball thought it was trending towards 35.
Right.
Or 34. That's the roster. And now it feels like it's trending toward about 24 full scholarship-wise. Now, not take that back. Not full scholarship, 24 scholarships.
Total scholarships.
You can still divide them up. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing, too, that's gotten lost a little bit in some of this, too, is from a football perspective. I think they're going, well, how many scholarships is it going to be? Well, it may still be 85 scholarships for 105 spots, but you're going to be able to divide those up a little bit.
Right, for the first time.
Yes. So people are like, well, it's going to hurt the walk-ons. Well, it probably is, because you're going to have somebody that's going to go, hey, you're going to get 50% of a scholarship at Auburn. You're going to do that, or you're going to go to Southern Miss? Well, the guys, oh, I'll take 50% of that
scholarship somewhere else.
Yeah,
right.
So I think it's going to impact things. But, yeah, you'll be able to divide some of that up, but – it is still a question of how many total scholarships you're going to have in some of these sports.
And a lot of football coaches, Hugh Freeze is among them, aren't thrilled with the fact that it's going to be 105. I feel like, and Don, you've talked about this, that when you're really going through your spring practice and fall practice, you like to have as many bodies as you can.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, like you say, it's hard to practice. And you want to get as many good on good as you can, too, and you kind of want to know who's going to be there. So, yeah, it's
gonna, that's something you absolutely don't know now.
That's unbelievable.
That's what, along with the 105,
right,
makes it difficult. Because if you knew right now, even if you said, hey, it's 2 years, you got a 2-year contract, even if you knew absolutely right now that all of these freshmen were going to be here, your first year guys that could return, a Keyron Crawford, if you said, look, we know right now that's what we're starting with,
mm-hmm,
at least you'd have an idea. Right now, you think you feel pretty good about all these guys, but you don't know. That's the big part. I do think along with this comes something that probably should have happened anyway, which is let's do 5 years to play 5 years.
Oh, you've been saying that. You've been saying that for a lot more than 5 years.
Yeah, I've been. Yeah. But here you go. If you want
to, don't have to worry. Then you don't have to worry about
burning a red shirt, not playing the guy
four
here.
Four or five games.
Correct. You know. I think great you do that idea. And go. I think just look. Give guys 5 years, and that's it.
Right.
No, I understand. There's things that happen, things that are out of control, but that for 100 years, somebody got hurt and their eligibility was up. You went, sorry, I hate it for you, but you played your time, and now we have a guy playing his ninth season. Devin Cambridge is still playing basketball.
Yeah.
Like. You have a guy playing his ninth year of football, and it always brings me back to Kevontae Barber. Kevontae Barber played just a couple of minutes too much and didn't get a fifth year.
Right.
I mean, it's not like he was asking for a sixth or seventh. A couple of minutes, and now you have people going, well, Diego Pavia is going,
Daniel Craig would have had another year.
I played junior college football. Yeah. That shouldn't count. Well, yes, it does. It counts.
Yes.
That lawsuit, if that thing had held up.
The whole world.
If that had held up.
Cam Newton has another year.
Then everybody could have just pretty much stayed in school as long as they wanted.
Cam Newton has another year. Oh, I've given my year back. I was in junior college.
Yeah.
Like, somewhere along the line, you have to start making rules to give people an idea of what they have. And it's across the board. Everybody talks about the money, but the roster issue is just as important because of the uncertainty that you have. And, hey, people got a little mad. I wrote something about Hugh Freeze from Monday night going, look, we know their phone's ringing, but we constantly have to recruit our own roster.
Right.
And there's been people going, well, good coaches don't have to worry about that. Yeah, they do.
Everybody has to worry about it. If you don't worry about that, you won't be coaching very long.
And the same thing in recruiting. You're going, look, well, you win a few more games. Yeah, it obviously would help you if you had won more games. Alabama's in the playoff picture right now and just lost a 5-star wide receiver. Everybody has to worry about their roster, and everybody has to worry about losing recruits at the end because of the money involved. It's just the world we live in.
Yep. In the meantime, Auburn adding a receiver in Eric Smith. Was that just yesterday?
It was today.
It was today. Okay.
Yeah. The twin brother of Derek Smith, Southside Selma.
Yeah, now
they don't look
one of them six five, six six.
Eric was more of a basketball guy.
Mm-hmm.
He has come on as a football player. He really has. He's gotten tougher, more physical. And then I think you look at it. But a guy that I believe comes in, gets in a weight room, takes a couple of years, I think is a future hybrid tight end kind of guy. I think that's what he will be down the road. But, you know, you look at it, and obviously this plays a big part in keeping one of your top guys. I mean, his brother is committed. His brother is a big-time wide receiver prospect. Southside has played pretty well this season, but Derek Smith probably has as incredible a stat line as anybody that I can remember. You know, Auburn having a commit. I mean, he had like 14 interceptions as a freshman, and then he's had 1,000 yards receiving. He's probably got 30 interceptions in his career as a safety. And I think Alabama wanted him as a safety more than a wide receiver. But yeah, this is a guy that helps in that mold. I think probably a guy that takes a couple of years to develop and see if you can get him to 6'6", 235 and playing more of a hybrid tight end, maybe big wide receiver role.
Yeah, so I mean, there is so much going on with signings for so many sports. Auburn football after a week off is back in action this weekend. And, of course, Auburn basketball back on the court tonight after that huge win out in Houston over the weekend. I mean, that's as impressive a win, Jason, as I can recall. I mean, a regular season win for Auburn as I mean, you go back.
Well, I mean, you can
go way back, maybe to the Kentucky game in 88.
I was saying, and go non conference.
Yeah, non conference. It is by far.
It's not
the
even
most
close.
Impressive.
I mean, and you start thinking about it. That, I mean, there haven't been many of those.
No,
from
non
conference without NCAA tournament.
Well, I mean, it's usually. I mean, and you generally haven't seen Auburn traveling to play somebody like that.
And those teams
in their hometown.
And those teams aren't coming to Auburn.
No,
they weren't. You can get some now. But for years, Auburn, you played the Great Alaska Shootout, and you might have had a game where you beat a named team.
Go to Puerto Rico. Or
but it wasn't a top five team like Houston,
right.
And especially not to do it in Houston. To me, easily as good a non-conference win outside of the NCAA tournament that an Auburn basketball team's ever had.
Yeah, and what's really exciting about this team is we've seen different guys step up in different games. I mean, first game it was Miles Kelly. The second game, I mean, Janai. You're gonna get what you expect out of Janai.
Yeah.
Chaney Johnson has stepped up in both games. Miles Kelly in game one, Tahad Pettiford in game two. It's great to see different players stepping up and being able to make big shots.
It's a huge key. No matter what sports you are, but in basketball, it may be more important than anything. To where you go, you may have one guy that's your consistent guy. But if you don't have somebody else that can pick it up and make a play or two, and it don't have to be the same guy every night, but
right.
You need to have somebody. And you think about in terms of the great teams. Yep. I mean, Jordan, until he got Scottie Pippen, he scored a bunch of points. They weren't very good. But even then, you had other guys that made shots. Pippen wasn't – I mean, he was a great player, but he wasn't a great scorer. But you had – hey, John Paxson might make a few. B.J. Armstrong might make some. Mm-hmm. Horace Grant might make some. There was always the guys mm-hmm. that said, hey, tonight's not my night. That's it. Can you find those guys? And having the option, it's like, I think about it, where it's a pass rusher, whether it's a pitcher, if you don't have a second pitch or a second move, then you're dead in the water.
Right, because they're going to catch on.
That's it. Yep. Same thing. You better have a second or third guy that can go get you a bucket.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, every night, each game's going to have to beat somebody else maybe.
Well, and we've seen, Denver Jones didn't score as much in game two, but, boy, he is a lockdown defender.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen Chad Baker-Mazar make shots, and
he did the other night. He did big time down the stretch.
In the first game, he had 11 in the first half and kind of got Auburn going.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at, the issue is maybe the biggest issue in basketball, no matter what level it is, but I think college basketball especially, can you survive – and not have the 7-minute drought where you have four free throws.
Mm-hmm.
Can you survive those moments? This team looks like it has the roster that can go, all right, well, let's go get this guy shot. And I watched Duke Kentucky last night.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of it. Down the stretch, you saw a team that said, look, we're gonna run our offense and make plays. And then you saw Duke go, we're going to play LeBron James one-on-one basketball at the end with a freshman, and Cooper Flagg's really good. But in crunch time, everybody in the building knew that guy's going to have to score, and he turned it over a couple times. Like, the difference between, let's just do what we do versus –
what was it, 46 at the half for Duke, and they end up with 72, so 26 in the second
and
half?
They did not make – I think the only three they made the second half was the one he made.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at it going – Kentucky's like, well, we don't have the first overall pick, but we've got a bunch of good players.
Yep.
Let's keep doing what we do, and whoever makes the shot makes the shot, and that worked out for them.
That's a big early win for Mark Pope.
And for the SEC.
SEC. But I mean, you know,
it's huge.
A lot of people were like, who's this guy, or what's he going to do?
I wish I could go back.
He's a really, really good
coach. I wish I could go back and find my tweet.
Pretty good darn player.
Because when Cal left that day, I'm like, Mark Pope's the guy. And people, oh, whatever. I'm like, he's been really good at BYU.
Just because he wasn't a big name to some people.
And a guy that's important for him at Kentucky.
Yes.
He wants
knows.
To be good. And, hey, here's the other thing. People don't – I think everybody – you do realize, but Kentucky is a place that gets shooed over a little bit when you start thinking about all the money schools in this league. That place got some money.
Oh yeah,
and hey, it shows
especially
up
for basketball. Well,
I mean,
yeah,
but even football. I mean, they've their football, their press box and facilities, all those things. They're best in this league, in my opinion. Like, it's incredible the things they've done there. They built a new baseball stadium. I mean, like, they have done a lot of things in addition to basketball at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And obviously, when they want basketball to be good again, they went out and got some really good transfers, and those guys showed up last night.
All right, we're just underway here on the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Don, Jason Caldwell on the Wednesday edition. Love for you to join in. You can call us on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390. Or text us on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And that number is 334-564-1840. We're right back. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
BNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell, Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in as well. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise. Jason, love to get your thoughts on the college football playoff rankings came out second week last night. It is obviously right now very much favoring the Big Ten. Four of the top five teams coming out of the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, look at BYU at six. I mean, like, yeah. The question I have now is when you start talking about the teams that are playing each other. I mean, you know, Tennessee, Georgia is still down there that you got to play. Georgia being behind both Alabama and Ole Miss.
Georgia being 12.
Who they've lost to, both those teams.
I
think Georgia's in serious trouble.
I agree. And it doesn't seem like the – and I didn't watch the thing last night. I saw the numbers, but I didn't watch and listen to anybody try to explain. But obviously – it doesn't help you to play these teams. I mean, Georgia has lost at Texas. Excuse me, they won at Texas.
Lost at Alabama.
Lost at Alabama.
And at Ole Miss. Correct.
Who are in the playoffs picture right now. But that puts Georgia down at 12, and you're right. I mean, they're in a very precarious situation right here. I mean, it appears that you're better off, at least in this committee's eyes, just winning ball games, and it doesn't really matter who you played against.
Well, and they talked about Georgia being inconsistent. Like, well, yeah, they're inconsistent on offense. Well, Miami's inconsistent on defense. Does that matter?
They absolutely are. Apparently, Miami is not inconsistent. They're bad.
Apparently it doesn't. I mean, you start looking at Miami beat Louisville, and Louisville being ranked now is probably by far the best victory they have. They beat Duke. But, you know, you start looking at it going like, that's the schedule. The Miami schedule, Florida, Louisville, FAMU, Florida State, Ball State, Duke, USF, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, Cal, and Syracuse. That's the schedule. I mean, like, you go like, I mean.
Of course, I guess something that goes against what I just said, if they were going just on one-loss records, Texas wouldn't be as high. Texas wouldn't be ahead of Indiana or BYU because, really, who's Texas beat?
Again, I don't know the – none of it really makes sense to me when you start thinking about it. Texas has one loss. That's it, right? They've got the one loss.
At home to Georgia.
Correct. They've got the one loss. And – they won at Michigan, who's 5-5 again, and that's it. I mean, Indiana's. I mean, they had to hold on for dear life at home against a 5-5 Michigan team.
Mm-hmm.
BYU got bailed out at home against a now 4-5 Utah team. Mm-hmm. You start looking at that, and that's the whole part of this. There's nobody that without flaw. I mean, you look at Oregon and go, well, they're number one team in the country. That's still a team that has flaws, I believe. Ohio State has flaws. There's nobody on this list,
that is one thing that I'm glad that the playoffs have expanded because there are so many teams.
Now you have more meaningful games.
Yeah,
you do. It has added more meaningful games to this. But I mean, you look down and you go, man, I don't know that I don't know anybody's playing better than SMU right now with what they're doing, especially offensively. But again, you start going, okay, well, who's that been against? How good is that league? And obviously there's been some struggles there. Here's the one thing about it. When you get to, you know, we've heard people going, oh, this, who's going to be in, who's going to be out? It doesn't matter. It's like the 65th team used to be an NCAA tournament. Hey, if you wanted to be in it, you know, if you're whoever, if you're Texas A&M and you want to be in it, beat Notre Dame at home. You had your opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
This is not 2004 Auburn where you've done all you can do. You've beaten everybody. If you don't get in the playoffs, it's your fault because you're not going to be undefeated.
You should have just won
That's it.
That game That's or it. Games.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. I mean, like, you know, Notre Dame's the other one to me. I mean, they won at Texas A&M. I mean, they got a terrible home loss.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, they're solidly in. I mean, schedule wise, left for them, they got Army and USC, who's not very good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one more, I can't remember. But you start looking at some of the other one is I mean, Penn State's at four. There's a no doubter right there, and I'm like, Penn State again. The only opportunity they've had, they fell flat again at home.
At home, at home. That's right. Yeah.
But that's part of 12. You're mm-hmm. going to have teams like that in there.
Well, it's going to be the SEC race down the stretch is crazy. I mean, there's no way there's not going to be some tiebreakers involved.
Yeah, no, I mean, you start looking at it and the opportunities for, you know, a two-loss team, Texas. I mean, is Texas the only one-loss team still left in the league? Right? Everybody else had not. I'm talking about not. Everybody has at least two overall losses.
Oh, overall, yes.
Yes. Yeah, so. You have the opportunity for one team to be better than 10-2 in this whole league.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the grind of playing.
And Texas goes to A&M.
And they go to A&M at the end of the year. Yes. And hey, some of this too is you look at the teams that are there. What we talked about before the year started. What teams had the most favorable schedules?
Texas,
Ole Miss,
and Missouri.
Mm-hmm. And you go like,
and Texas and Ole Miss look like they're. Yeah, they're well on their way of being in.
Yeah, and Missouri's a team that has not that's not a very good football team, in my opinion. They're okay.
Yeah.
They could be 10-2. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, like, Ole Miss has two games left. They go to Gainesville. They're off this week. Then they go to Gainesville. Then they got Mississippi State. So, I mean, they've got a great shot.
I mean,
if they don't go 10-2 and get in now.
Correct. I mean, Florida with DJ Lagway maybe is a dangerous game mm-hmm. for them.
Although the Ole Miss defense is much, much better.
It's been the biggest story of this season in the Southeastern Conference has been two things. It's been Ole Miss defensively and the things they do, and Tennessee running the football. Because you're like, oh, they're going to throw it a ton. They're going to do all these things. Oh, well, Nico not playing well. You know, we're going to ride that guy. And they've run the football, Samson, and they play defense. Yeah. And so – those two things have been really the difference. Georgia's been the opposite. Georgia's like, our offensive line's not nearly as good. We're not going to run the football.
It is crazy.
Throw it every down.
It is crazy to see Georgia throwing the ball as much as they have been. And Carson Beck has struggled. Picks in the last six games.
Yeah, and it was 11.
Yeah, that's right.
It was 11-5. He had one Saturday, so that's 12. But he had another fumble. He had a turnover too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's at least 13 turnovers.
Well, he had a fumble.
Two.
And yeah.
He had two fumbles?
Yeah, because I was going to say I remember a fumble
in the Alabama game.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Saturday. So, yeah, I mean, you look at 13, 14 turnovers, and we're talking about, you know, how – and they overcame several of those games to win them. But not even Georgia is good enough to have those types of games mm-hmm. and win them all. And it just shows you the importance of not making mistakes, and it's hard to do.
All right, I tell you what, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. Before we get into Auburn football, because I don't want to just start talking and have to go ahead and immediately get to break, we'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. Again, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline as we continue here with the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio. And we'd love for you to join in. Jason, back, Auburn back on the practice field getting ready for ULM coming in this Saturday. And I guess the first, the most talked about topic is quarterback. I didn't realize until Hugh Freeze said it Monday. I mean, everybody thought that it looked like he got the shoulder banged up there on that tackle as he escaped a safety against Vandy. But Hugh Freeze letting us know Monday that he didn't throw it all last week, didn't practice last week. Now Peyton yesterday said that he felt like he'd be able to go, but today but Hugh Freeze,
yeah, he hadn't thrown yet.
Yesterday was going to be the first practice. And I wasn't able to watch the media viewing window because it was right as we were coming on. But Peyton was out there with the ones, right?
Threw a little bit out there. But being able to throw a little bit and then cut it loose and throw are two different things. And then Hugh Freeze said today, he said, look, he didn't respond as well as we hoped he would.
Well, see, that's the thing. What I said yesterday was, even if he looked good yesterday, is he going
to
be today?
Yeah, and Thursday. You have to see what he looks like in a couple of days. I mean, and if it's not as good on day one, then you know, it's not going to. Here's the thing about it. With a bye week, you go a normal bye week, if you're practicing, you might be able to go, hey, we can. Maybe he's not ready on Tuesday. He'll be good on Wednesday. But when you don't practice, then you start going, well, Tuesday is a really important day.
Yes, it is.
Because of the things you're implementing from a game plan perspective.
Yep.
If you want to take Thursday and have a lighter day to go, hey, let's make sure we're good on Saturday, that's a little bit different story. And that is a fine-tuned day, and it's still important. But those Tuesday, Wednesday days are really big when you start talking about getting prepared for a game. Right at this point, I'd be really surprised if Hank Brown's not the starter on Saturday.
Yeah. And you know, that's the way we sort of felt last week when Hugh on the teleconference talked about considering other options at quarterback.
Yeah, and I think,
had to be because they didn't know.
Well, and I asked postgame that Vandy, that was my question to Hugh Freeze going, hey, was he injured? Because immediately you stand up and when you see a quarterback pulling at his shoulder or doing that, you're like, okay, there's something going on.
Yep.
The next play, Cam Coleman's open down the field. You have a deep shot, he's 10 yards underthrown, and immediately you go, there's something there.
Right.
And so you look at it, Hank Brown, here's the thing. Could Peyton Thorne be your emergency guy maybe on Saturday? Yeah, I could see that where you go like, hey, we need a guy right now. Do I feel more likely that this could be an opportunity to maybe get Holden Garner, Walker White, if things go well? I think probably leaning more to that if you can take care of business, but it sure feels like Hank Brown would be the guy that would be the starter for this team come Saturday.
It'll be really interesting to see how they how they come out there, warm-ups, and then at the start of the ball game. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And let's get to it. And Brian is up first. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Hey, Drew totally screwed that up yesterday with the tickets thing. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, he did. We knew it. No.
Brown better be starting on Saturday. Otherwise, we're just banging our heads against the wall again, per usual, and having a fun discussion on the following week. Question for JC. Something I was wondering with as well as bruised back to basketball, something that we're actually good at, something that I've been wondering is, when Barbie came in here and made all of his mistakes and didn't do anything and said we couldn't win as an Under Armour school, and Bruce has obviously come in here and totally changed that. Is there any truth, or do you think we will do even better once we are a Nike school, or is that just a smoke thing? And Bruce, I mean, obviously Bruce is doing an amazing job now, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, I don't. The problem is that if this happens 10 years ago, where NIL and this revenue sharing things aren't coming, then I think it absolutely makes a big impact. I honestly don't know how much it makes now, because now these guys are already making money. It's not going to hurt. I'll say that. It's not going to hurt at all to be a Nike school from a shoe perspective, all those things. I think it makes more of an impact in basketball, football, and probably tennis, to be quite honest, and maybe soccer too. I think it probably makes more of an impact in those sports as it does anything when you start talking about it. Baseball is not going to hurt you either. But I think from a basketball perspective, it's not going to hurt to be plugged in. But now Under Armour as a school, Under Armour as a company has their own –
the Curry line.
Yeah, they have their own summer league, and they do some things too. So they've jumped in. I don't think it's going to be a huge impact. And the problem is when you think it's going to make a big impact, you're going to have to turn the entire roster over. So you're going to get some guys, but you're going to have to sign some players that people go, man, where'd he come from, or who is that? Because you can't afford to sign 10 high-level high school basketball prospects. You're going to need veterans anyway. I mean, but you're going to have to take some guys. You go, man, that's more of a developmental player, because monetarily – to turn over an entire basketball roster right now, I just don't know how that would even be feasible.
What are we looking at for, bigs for next year? Because we lose all of our bigs, correct?
Yeah, you lose all – I mean, right now, as it stands, you'll have two guys back.
Yeah, I mean, the only non-seniors that are scholarship players are Ja'Kai Howard and Tahad Pettiford.
Yeah, so you're talking about replacing
– So you've got two guards, basically.
I would guess at
a
this –
guard and a wing.
I would guess at this point, when you start talking about Auburn and you start talking about – what you're gonna search for, you're gonna talk about probably a combination of three big time transfer guys that are bigs, maybe a true center, maybe a true power forward, and maybe somebody that could play both. But to me, the most difficult thing right now would be trying to play a bunch of high school kids that are fours and fives. Guards you can live with.
You're right. You need somebody. You better have some experience front court.
Like I said, if you can get Cooper Flagg, then you go, yeah, we can play that guy. You can get Jabari Smith, yeah, you can play that guy. But even then you go, are they physical enough to play from week one to week 30, to game 38 and get you – that's the hard part. That's why the older body. So I would guess you probably three bigs from the portal to go get you. And, hey – there's nobody in the country can sell that better than Auburn can right now. When you look at what they've done with, Walker Kessler and now Jani Broome, and you go, all right, you want to be the next guy that's an All-American? Come on. And so I do think there's a huge selling point. But yeah, I think you probably go three bigs from a portal standpoint. Guard-wise, you'll probably go maybe another veteran point guard. I would say that right now, if you go 10 – at a minimum, it's five transfer guys. It may be four high school guys and six transfers.
I'm thinking it's probably four and six is more likely. Yeah. And the other thing you're also dealing with is NIL.
Yeah.
You're dealing with what do you have to spend on who, and it may cost you more to get high profile
high school guys.
Simon
Walker's a guy that probably helps you in that regard. Probably not a guy that commands that, but you've already got a commitment from a top 40 player. Got a chance, I think, on Sunday. I believe it's Sunday when Sebastian Williams-Adams commits, 6'8", power forward kid from Houston. But, again, these are two more higher-profile guys. Sean Abev is another guy that they're still in the mix with that has some Israel connections. So, yeah, I think three or four, probably four high school guys, if you can get it, and then a little bit more from the portal.
And I believe what we're looking at is they're all top 100, three and four high school kids, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, Simon Walker's a four-star kid from Huntsville that has really gained, but your commitments, Caden Magwood is the four-star that's a top 40 player, and then your potential power forward's a guy that's a top 100 four-star guy, too, and you're still in with other four-star guys. I don't know that in this class you'll see a five-star. Because of the numbers that you have, from a budget standpoint to get one of those five-star guys right now, is it more important to do that, or is it more important to go get two of your transfers that are going to play and have a big impact right away? I mean, that's the hard part. This is salary cap level problems that you know NFL teams or and NBA teams are dealing with that you're having to deal with in college.
Does Bruce have a guy like we do for football for that same type, or does that football guy handle everything?
Yeah, no. They've got different guys that kind of do different roles, and so I think they got a few guys that are helping in that. I think Chad Pruitt does a lot of that in terms of being kind of the GM a little bit. It's still a difficult role, but it's much easier in basketball when you're dealing with 13 versus 85. Yeah. That play. When you're slicing it up for 85 guys and trying to figure out, well, what's number? We feel like this. Just think about it in this term. Basketball, you go, I know who my – I'm pretty sure who my 13th guy is. In football, your 85th guy may not matter as much. Where's my cutoff line to where, okay, we're going from guys that we think we can help us to guys that we have to play? Is it 50? Is it 55?
I'd say it's somewhere around correct. That, or maybe in the 40s, 40, upper 40s.
Because I mean, there's nobody in the country that goes, well, my 85th guy, we plug that guy in, we're going to be just as good as we were with our first guy. It just doesn't happen. But you have to figure out how much am I paying my, where's my cutoff line? Mm-hmm. Where can we start to go, well, if this guy doesn't want to take this amount of money, then we'll go get another guy that's similar. And he'll be glad to take that. That's the hard part in football. Basketball, not quite as much.
Gotcha. That's good stuff. All right, guys. Thank you, Coach. Good talking to y'all.
Yeah, good hearing from you again, Brian. I mean, it is. It is crazy to think about all that goes into this roster, realignment that you have to do every year.
It is. And, Don, I mean, let's think about, like, from a defensive line standpoint. We're used – because you're recruiting that there's every position is a developmental position.
Right.
But defensive line and offensive line are developmental positions.
Yes.
Even in this day and age, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you go, well, we got to go get high school guys, but we need to get older guys too.
Right.
But is that older guy good enough to be a difference maker? Is it worthwhile to go get him? I mean, it's almost impossible.
It's I don't know how they do it. Like you say, I'm miss coaching. I say it every show.
You don't miss that though.
But I don't miss one bit of that. And a lot of pressure. And if you make that big mistake, now you're behind the eight ball again. And
right.
I mean, it's tough.
That's it. And you start to talk. And so, the question is for me and coaching is so much about knowing what you have in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Knowing what you have. When you're taking transfers that you've known for 48 hours.
If that, sometimes.
Yeah. You don't know that.
No.
You learn that over the years when you're developing guys.
Yeah.
You're expecting these guys to plug in and play.
Exactly. The old days, came in, we'll see you next spring. You're going down red shirt. Get the heck beat out of
grind
him,
it out. Team. Go in the weight room.
Get bigger, stronger, faster. Learn the game. Learn the tempo. Now, you better go get you somebody that can play against an Alabama, Georgia.
And in the meantime, you got to be keeping the other guys happy.
Exactly.
The ones that aren't.
Yeah. It's
constantly recruiting your own players.
It is. It's and you know, you have to. You still have to develop because
right.
that's what's happened. And when people talk about the Auburn roster, I'm like, look. Mm-hmm. Should their record be 3-6? No, absolutely not. They're better than 3-6. But you look at it and you go, when you've basically been on probation for 2 years on the lines of scrimmage,
yeah,
and all of a sudden you go, well, we just got to roll the dice on a bunch of transfers. They've had some guys that can help them, but it's not like you've got guys that have been in your program that are going, hey, man, it's important. I'm not saying these guys don't want to win.
Right.
But there's a difference between wanting to win and being bought in, going, man, I'm laying on the line because
this
I've been in Auburn
team.
For 4 years.
Right. Yeah.
It's a different feel.
It is different. I'm telling you. You know, you always worried about bringing in junior college guys when I was coaching. And most of the time, we would love to have redshirted them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some of them really developed.
Yeah.
But golly, like Jamar Mills, you know, someone like that.
Yep.
But my goodness, I don't know how they do it. I do not miss that part of it.
We need to get to our final break of hour number one and final few minutes with Jason. So if you've got a question or comment for him, come on in and join us, 334-321-1390.
For air that is...
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Final segment of hour number one here on the Wednesday Drive. Yeah, we're going to have to turn the lights on here momentarily. I mean, it's getting it's dark. I've gotten used to saying in the second hour that we're here, you know, that it's whatever evening. I'm not used to it being dark before 5 o'clock, I would guess. We'll get used to it, but
yeah, I can't stand it.
Sometimes when I first wake up, I don't mind it. When I first wake up, I go, I got a little more time.
Yeah, the hard part is
that's
like
it. Then you got the rest of the day when everything feels like it's an hour.
Having one
hour
that gets
late
out of school, and even though she gets out of school early, and you look up and you go,
it's dark.
If we don't do something outside the next 20 minutes, mm-hmm. then that's our window, and it's over with.
Yep. Yeah. Well, won't have to worry about that Saturday. We've got the early start on Saturday, 11 o'clock. Kick against
11:45, right? Is 11:45? No, is that 11 a.m.?
I think this one is.
They all change over now.
I thought. Whatever. It's early.
Yes, correct.
Louisiana Monroe they got off to a really good start.
Yeah.
They have lost three straight now.
11:45.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. That would make sense why
the other one,
the network and everything's going
correct.
8:30. That's
yes.
right.
You're right, Bill. They've lost three in a row, and they've given up some points the last three games.
Well, as Jason was saying, I mean, they've given up yards on the ground, and that's good news for whoever the Auburn quarterback is.
Yeah, I mean, I think, obviously, you look at it and go, you can figure out, you know, not Peyton Thorne's not the only guy that they've tried to give a little break to. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah Wright's been a little banged up, so they've kind of given him a little bit of break. Obviously, Too Tall has, you know, been one of the issues for this team because the offensive line, they've had to shuffle guys around because he's been banged up so much too.
Right.
So both those guys got some rest last week. So DeAndre Carter, the true freshman, we've seen a little bit. He's been a guy that's been in the mix some. And then Tyler Johnson, we've seen some at tackle too. But, yeah, I think you obviously want to run the football, and I think that's where it starts. And, you know, Bryant Vince is a guy I've known a long time, and he said I texted him this morning and said, you know, see, and he said, we're fighting like crazy trying to win one more game. And so,
yeah, get bowl eligible.
That's it. It's only be the second time.
Yeah.
They've been to one bowl game. That's it.
That is hard to believe that there's a program that's been around. And,
yeah.
You know, you don't.
And they've been okay.
Yeah.
And they haven't been terrible. Mm-hmm. And so you look at it, and they'll be a team that's going to come in. They've already been to Texas. They beat James Madison. Probably that's been their biggest win.
Yeah. That's a big win.
But they've given up. I just wrote it, kind of doing a preview for tomorrow. They're giving up almost 200 yards a game on the ground.
Yep.
And
yep.
In their last seven straight games, they've given up more than 100 yards, and they've given up more than 300 to both South Alabama and Texas State. So you're giving up 300 yards rushing in those games. Not a good sign.
Yeah, you'd figure that Auburn should be able to, you know.
Yeah, and it'll be one of those things where you may have to face a goal line defense part of the day.
Yeah.
And if you're like, okay,
bear defense.
Yeah, here it is. I mean, we've already seen it. We've seen it from others going, all right, we're going to put guys in the gaps. Here we go. And here's your one-on-one opportunities and make the young quarterback beat it and hope you can get pressure. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see some of that early to force their hand because if you play straight up, then you're going to give up 300 yards rushing and it's over with.
Yeah.
I think that's what you have to do.
Yeah, I agree.
What are you looking for from them offensively?
Yeah, they haven't been very good. It's running game for them. It's going to be – that's what they do. I mean, they got a true freshman, 5'10", 205. They got 915 yards and 9 touchdowns. They're on their second quarterback. You know, I don't know if we'll see General Booty, which is, you know, the great name. I don't know if we'll see him or not.
Any relation to the to
yes,
the, to
yeah,
the Booties?
He's the next one down the
okay.
line.
Okay,
only
mean,
average
that is a
they only average 128.
Very popular. I mean, very very
yes,
big
Josh
name sports
and all
wise.
Of the, yes,
right.
128 yards passing a game. That's it.
Mm.
So they have really struggled throwing the football. Their leading receiver has 24 catches. Couple touchdowns. They only have two guys with double-digit receptions.
Wow, they don't throw it very much.
They don't throw it very much. And so,
or they don't catch it very much.
Yeah, either one. So I think they're going to try to run the football. Auburn's played pretty good against the run. And you look at it, their offensive line has some size. Defensive front is not very big, and that's kind of what you'd expect. I would think this is one where line of scrimmage game. Auburn's played pretty well in doing those areas at times. I would expect that. And then take some shots in the passing game because they're going to give you some one-on-one opportunities.
Well, it'd be good to be able to build a little confidence as they head into the final two games.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, can you get a little bit more of an idea at quarterback? It's still not showing you. It's not Texas A&M or Alabama. But I think you'll see Hank Brown, and probably the strength of his game has been the deep ball. Mm-hmm. And so you get some of those opportunities for him. No question right now. Just go win a football game. Try to have some fun and see if you can get some of those young guys in there. Can you get a Walker White in the game? Can you get DeAndre Carter, TJ Lindsey, some of those young defensive linemen? Get them some reps to kind of get a feel for a college football game would be big.
Jason, always great when we have got a little time with you. I'll let everybody know how they can keep up with everything you and everybody's doing.
Yeah, AuburnUndercover.com, 24/7 network. Basketball tonight, Nathan King will be there. I'm going to head to church here in a little bit, so I'm gonna pass that one off to Monday night. But recruiting stuff going on, obviously heading into the weekend football, high school football Friday night, big one here in town, and Opelika going to Hoover. So all that, you can find it all at AuburnUndercover.com, and check us out on our YouTube page, same thing, Auburn Undercover.
Thanks again, Jason. Right back with hour number two.
Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPN.
I thought, Don, you're going to have to take it till I'm able to hobble back in. But no, we're doing it. Gotta play with a little pain.
That's right.
As we get underway here in hour number two of the Wednesday Drive, it's Bill and Coach Don Dunn. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, who joined us in hour number one. If you missed any of Jason, you can check out the podcasts, which are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Anywhere you find your podcasts, you can check out today's show or any of the previous shows that we have done. Here in hour number two, we'd love to hear from you, get your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports. You want to talk a little college basketball. Again, if you didn't get a chance to get through yesterday, or, you know, haven't talked to – I know Bruce Pearl wants to put that Houston game behind Auburn. It'll be interesting to see tonight against Kent State how they do, because this is a game, this is the type game that you would think this one could be a little sluggish because everybody's heads are in the clouds. But the fact that Auburn has 10 seniors on this team and so many of them that have been through the wars together, you would hope that type of leadership would get you through something like this.
Yeah, you know, Bill, as a coach, whenever you have a big win like we had against Houston on the road, which was a home game for Houston, but you worry, you know, everybody's been patting you on the back, telling you how great you are.
You're a top five team now.
Yeah, exactly. But like you said, with the 10 seniors and being a home game, that helps. The crowd will be into it, be excited for another home game. I just think we take care of business. Could be a slow start, but and again, like we were talking earlier, who's going to be the guy to step up tonight?
Yeah.
That's what's exciting when you have that many good players that if you do have the one guy's off, the other guy steps up. And we've, like you mentioned it earlier, two different guys have taken the role so far.
Yeah, Auburn's leading scorer in each of the first two games in the other ball game, offensively or scoring-wise, haven't been that big of a factor. Tahad Pettifer didn't score.
Right.
In the opening game against Vermont, scored 21 against Houston. Miles Kelly had 21 in his Auburn debut, the Georgia Tech transfer. I believe he had five against Houston. As we said, Jahni Broome is the steady. You can count on Jahni. He's gonna get you, if not a double double, very close to it every time out. And he had 20-9 the other day.
Yep.
Chaney Johnson has been very efficient through the first couple of ball games, carving out a few more minutes each time out. You can see that he is bigger and stronger.
He has changed his body.
And he is more confident.
Yeah.
Last year, I remember Coach Pearl talking about Chaney, about them concerned with his confidence. He missed a few shots, and I guess he was sort of doubting, was he really good enough to make that move to this level of basketball? But we saw him play well down the stretch and in the tournament, in the SEC tournament especially, last year. And he has really picked up and got things off to a quick start. Well, you've got guys like Chad Baker-Mazzara, who can help you in so many ways offensively and defensively. And like Jason said, he scored a bunch of points early against Vermont. The other night against Houston, he gets a quick couple of fouls and has to go to the bench. And you're thinking, oh, man, you know, this has got to really frustrate him after the way the season ended last year with him being, you know, tossed in the tournament. But he came back and was huge down the stretch for Auburn. Had a big bucket, a huge three to give Auburn, give Auburn more than a one possession lead. And then he hit two free throws down the stretch. So with the players that Auburn has, and I mentioned Denver Jones, I think he had 16 in the opening game. He only had four the other night. So you'd like to get, you know, guys consistently, you know, if you've got five or six guys that can score double figures, you'd like to have at least three or four of them doing that most times out. We'll see tonight against Kent State who steps up and does well. So it is really fun, though. And I mean,
and it's still early. So, I mean, you know, it's only the third game.
Yeah.
But I think this is a very special team. We just got to, you know, I don't even want to mention the word, stay healthy. So, and Kent State is, they're 2-0, right? Yeah, they're 2-0. I don't know much about them, but, it should be another sellout. And I think the game is on.
I think it's just the Plus, ESPN Plus.
Yes, yes.
Or SEC Network Plus.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
at 7 p.m.
Oh, I see. Joe Champion is going to be the color guy tonight.
So. Oh, great!
So if you can't make it there, you can check that. Of course, you can listen to the ball game if you don't have access to the SEC Network Plus. You can listen to the ball game over on Wings 94.3, 6:30 with the pregame, and 7 o'clock tip tonight. So it is interesting that Auburn is playing. Auburn has never played Kent State.
Really?
Yeah.
You would think somewhere along the line in the history.
Just with as many games as you play in basketball and as many seasons as there have been.
That's interesting.
It will be the first time that these teams have ever played. They are a team that was picked third in the MAC in the preseason. They've beaten Louisiana 70-66. And Miami Hamilton, which is in Hamilton, Ohio.
Yeah, right outside of Cincinnati.
Yeah, so that's an offshoot of the University of Miami in Ohio.
Right.
And so those are their two victories heading into the season. Now, I don't know an awful lot about them.
Nope.
About their size or anything. I would think Auburn's going to match up pretty well against just about everybody size-wise.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, when you've got Jahni Broome and Dylan Cardwell down low, Chaney Johnson, and then you've got wings like Chad Baker-Mazzara and Miles Kelly, it's going to be rare that Auburn, you know, faces teams that are a whole lot bigger than they are coming in. And I doubt they're going to be teams that are much more experienced than Auburn.
Yeah, I would agree. Be interesting. And then I don't know. Who's our next game? I'm not even sure.
North Alabama next Monday.
Right, so they have a little time to.
That is an 8 o'clock game next Monday. I hate those games.
Yeah, those are tough on everybody.
I tell you
trying to stay up,
I don't mind them maybe, I guess. I probably, they're not going to be as bad as they were a year ago. because I was having to get up and go to work the next morning. I don't have to do that now.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Yeah, maybe it's not so bad, but still, it's no fun
getting home 10:30. The traffic and everything, yeah. And then you got to wind down. But it's all about TV. Absolutely.
And the 8 o'clock game is more preferred.
Right.
You know, that's more the primetime game. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that shows you that the networks are expecting a lot of you and that they respect your team.
Right. I guess we shouldn't
complain. The earlier start you get, the less likely that the broadcasters are thinking, you know, well, this is one that people are going to want to watch in prime time.
Right.
We've got some Bruce Pearl audio that we can run for you here this hour. A little programming note. No Tiger takes today. Couldn't catch up with Eugene Asante, so there will be no Tiger takes. I did see yesterday when I went over for Bruce Pearl's press conference, I saw Dylan Cardwell and said, you know, looking forward to having him back.
Like last year.
Yeah, I believe he will be our basketball Tiger Takes guest, and we'll start that very soon as well. So looking forward to talking to Dylan, who's one of the just
great kid,
nicest guys. I mean, he is. He really is. He is Auburn through and through, but, I mean, he is a fun guy to talk to, as well as obviously be around.
For sure. I really enjoyed listening to him last year when I'd come in, and just what a great representative of Auburn, like you said, just a class kid. And the fact that he came back shows you how much he loves Auburn.
That is right. So we'll start that one soon, but no Tiger takes at the bottom of this hour. So we're wide open. Love for you to join in here on the Wednesday Drive, and you can do so by calling the Drive Hotline, which is sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390. Or you can text us on the Drive text line, and is sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number, 334-564-1840. We're in the second hour of the show, and that means this hour is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. So we can talk some basketball. We can talk a little more football. Mm-hmm. Love to get some folks' thoughts on the college football playoff picture and the SEC race, where it's really hard to see. I mean, maybe, you know, I guess the Texas A&M winner, if they can avoid another loss, you know, they'll be in the SEC title game. But, you know, other than that, it's really difficult to figure how there wouldn't be a tie for most spots. You've got Tennessee, A&M, and Texas, all with one conference loss right now.
Right.
But Tennessee is at Georgia.
Yep.
This
Saturday night game, that'll be tough.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be very tough for Tennessee.
Arkansas, Texas, they are at Arkansas.
They are.
You never know.
And
that's a rivalry. It's gone back for years and years.
Texas, you know, has played a pretty light schedule for their first year in the SEC. Arkansas is going to need a great game from Talen Green.
Right. And then you got LSU in Florida, at Florida.
And I don't know. I mean, that one may be interesting.
Yeah.
It really may. I mean, I mentioned this yesterday, Don. I mean, LSU's 3-2 in conference.
Yeah.
And they're very close to being 1-4.
I know.
I mean, because South Carolina was a game that, you know, Ole Miss led most of the game, and LSU wins it in overtime. Remember, Ole Miss kicks a field goal, LSU hits a touchdown on the next play.
Right.
There in overtime. And South Carolina had opportunity after opportunity to beat LSU. And man, if South Carolina had done that,
they'd have been right in the
thick. They'd be where LSU is right now.
Right. Yeah. They're 6-3 overall. You know, they killed, Texas A&M. And then they stuffed Vanderbilt.
That's what I mean. They have the same record as LSU.
Yeah.
They're very close to being right there with Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss.
Right.
But
he's done a good job, and there was some talk about him early in the season.
Yeah, there was. There was a concern about, was he on the hot seat?
Right.
No.
Right.
No, he has gotten South Carolina turned around. And you know one of the biggest reasons? Their defensive front.
Right.
Man, they have an impressive – front four that'll get after you.
Yeah, they're good. And you're right. It's all about defense with them. And, boy, they've really, really turned a corner.
334-321-1390. That is the drive hotline. Who we got, Drew?
Yellowhammer.
Yellowhammer is up first. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon.
How you doing?
Afternoon, everybody. I was wondering. Here we go. I'm going to ask a question, and then I got a comment based on your answer about that.
All right.
I was in Atlanta. A friend of mine gets the Atlanta Constitution, and I happened to read the article on the Friday before Georgia played Ole Miss, and it was talking about how Lane Kiffin felt really exposed the year before when Georgia beat him 52-17 or something like that.
Yeah, that was
right,
the score.
Right.
And so he decided, I got to go get some defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. And it seems like in the article, Kirby Smart was aware that was up, because he said that was the core of a great defense, is you've got to have those big, strong, fast guys. And mm-hmm. he, as he put it, can twitch and twist. I understand twist. I don't know what twitch he means by that, but
Don can address that.
Yeah, that's quickness, get off, redirection, just twitch like you're
quick reaction.
Quick, exactly, exactly.
Okay, well, anyway, apparently he found some pretty good ones.
they don't call Lane Kiffin the Portal King for nothing.
He
has really done well in the portal.
Yeah, but you're exactly right. It's in the trenches where you're going to win football games on both sides of the ball, O-line and D-liners. That's never going to change.
That's my other thing. Auburn has the opposite problem. We're trying to build an offensive line. But if you go back about, when we fired Harsin and hired Freeze, mm-hmm. our offensive line at that time was in a kind of a dismal state. And I got to wondering, if we go back a decade, can you name a time when we had that bad of an offensive line?
Honestly, I don't think that I can. Auburn's had pretty good offensive lines over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a stretch there toward the end of Gus's time at Auburn when Auburn wasn't signing enough offensive linemen, and an injury would be critical because you didn't have many, and you also were not having young players that you could develop. So, I mean, that was something that was showing up, and there were concerns about that during Gus's last couple of years. And then Harsin continued that and seemed like and then some of the linemen left, and they were just mm-hmm. – the cupboard was literally bare when Hugh Freeze got to Auburn.
Well, my last thing then is that at that time, when Harsin was let go on your show, everybody there was talking about how it's going to take another 3 years, maybe more, to build a top quality offensive line, SEC caliber. And so I'm saying this is one of those years. And so our offense is only capable of what the offensive line will allow us to do. They allow us to run, but and not so much on the pass.
Now, there's a lot to that. I do think that the transfer portal has shortened people's expectations or patience, I guess. The mm-hmm. expectations are you should be able to get it turned around quicker because everybody can transfer it every year. So that probably doesn't give you as much time, comfortable time, as teams and coaches used to have in the past.
No time, because this is the second year, and I can't go out and find a bunch of offensive linemen and whip them into shape on that short of a time, I wouldn't think.
Well, I mean, probably not. The thing has been disappointing this year is I think the feeling was that Auburn's offensive line would be significantly improved this year, and it really hasn't. Auburn has continued. They've continued to struggle in pass protection. They've been better at running the ball, as we said, and then you get one of the guys injured, and it shifts things around a little bit. So,
that's chaos. Yeah.
Yeah. So it has been a problem, and that's one of the reasons, not the only reason by any means, but that's one of the reasons that Peyton Thorne was head and shoulders above the other guys, because he was the most mobile of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, you better be able to run.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, I'd love to hear you talk about what we do going on to the last three games to get around that. And anyway, I'm going to hang up, and thanks. Love the show. Bye.
I appreciate the call, Yellowhammer.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that and you know, ways to, you know, approach these final three ball games and more. We need to get to our first break, though, of hour number two. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Grammy-winning songs, the Tony-winning moves, the electrifying Broadway sense.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday evening. Bill and Coach Don Dunn, Drew at the controls. And, yeah, we'd love to hear from you. All right, so Yellowhammer was wondering, what do you do here in the last three games? This is a really interesting question. I mean, just overall, when you look at the situation Auburn's in, they still can qualify for a bowl
right.
if they win out.
Right.
So you don't want to not do everything you can to win a game. But then on the other hand, if there are some young players that you haven't had a chance to see as much of, wouldn't you like to use these last three games as an opportunity?
Yeah, especially this one, Bill, with an open date and an opponent that's, no, let's be honest, is we should be able to handle
right.
physically. And, you know, I say we go out, we try to establish a hard-nosed running game early, and then – get some young guys out there. And it sounds like we may have a situation at quarterback where we are going to have a young man.
Yeah, it does. In case you've you haven't been with us, we talked about this in hour number one, where Peyton Thorne did not practice last week because of a shoulder problem that came up when he was tackled trying to avoid his safety there in the Vandy game. And then unfortunately for Peyton, Auburn called a deep pass on the next play, and he was unable to get the ball out to Cam Coleman, who had about a step and a half on the defender. But you could see him flexing the shoulder and trying to move it around toward the end of the ball game. So that's not a good sign. And then to find out that he didn't practice last week, I thought after we heard that from Hugh Freeze on Monday that it would be doubtful to see Peyton this week. But then yesterday, Peyton was among the players that met with the media, and he said he was feeling better and thought he'd be good to go. look, competitors
right.
want to play. I don't know how many people I've either heard or read some comments going, the coach has got to know. Well, competitors are going to try to play through what they feel is minor pain or something they can get through.
Right, and, you know, the kid's got three games left, so sure he wants to play. And like we were talking off the air, you don't want a guy that doesn't want to play. And you just mentioned that. So, yeah, I can understand him thinking he's going to get to play, and I'm sure they'll test it out. And tomorrow will be a big day. And then
I'm sure today was.
Yeah, and if he's any doubt tomorrow, then I'd give all the young guys reps tomorrow. But we're going to need him down the stretch no matter what happens.
And the media had a viewing window yesterday of about 10 minutes, and Peyton was out there early, and Jason said he looked to be throwing the ball well. But they were just working. Usually when we're out there, it's like slant-type passes.
Right,
there aren't any really deep throws or anything like that. But Peyton looked okay. But as I said yesterday, the concern was not right then during practice. It's like, how's it going to be after practice? How was it going to be last night? How is it going to be this morning?
Yeah. Right. That's the key.
And when Hugh Freeze on the SEC teleconference today said that Peyton didn't come through it the way they were hoping, that told me that by the end of practice, he probably was favoring the shoulder again.
Right, and it takes some time, and, you know, just to if he hadn't thrown anything in over a week, then like you said, it's going to be how much soreness, maybe swelling, range of motion, those type of things. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I sure as heck wouldn't give anybody any. I wouldn't say anything if I was the head coach. Who's going to start?
Yeah, but if Peyton is unable to go, you would sure think this is the
opportunity.
Next opportunity for Hank Brown, who got the start against New Mexico and then started the Arkansas game before he was pulled at halftime. So this could be a good opportunity for Hank and perhaps Holden Gerner and maybe even Walker White, even though we heard Walker was running the scout team, at least in the early portion of practice yesterday. Other than that, and that's a big factor. Other than that, Auburn's in pretty darn good shape physically. I mean, yeah. They've been pretty fortunate this year. They haven't had an awful lot of players go down, one of the reports, and it may have been Nathan King from Auburn Undercover, said that Brandon Frazier, who the big tight end who went down earlier this season and was looking like he was going to be a big factor for Auburn because he's a very good run blocker and has excellent hands. Mm-hmm. He was out practicing with no limitations yesterday, as was Tyler Scott. And he's one of the guys, he had an mm-hmm. injury back in the spring,
right,
and was expected to miss the season. A guy that was pushing for playing time at cornerback, and we've talked about that's a position where Auburn is really young. They played well, but they don't have an awful lot of depth.
Depth, right.
And, you know, now with being down one, you know, maybe Tyler Scott coming back, they could go ahead and play him, and it wouldn't affect his redshirt season.
Yeah.
So that I think that could be something good for Auburn as they, you know, try to get ready for those final two conference games with A&M here and then the trip up to Tuscaloosa. So that's sort of the way things are going into the ULM game on Saturday. The defense, I like the way the defense has been playing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hope they can keep playing well, too, because that gives you a chance.
Yes, whenever you play good defense, you have a chance to win a game.
All right, it's 5:30. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We've got some Bruce Pearl audio, but love to hear from you. Again, we apologize. No Tiger takes this week, so the phone lines are open, 334-321-1390.
Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 1067.
Welcome back into the drive. Final half hour here on this Wednesday. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. And let's get to the drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, evening, fellas. I caught the tail end of what you were saying. So has Coach Freeze publicly said that he is going to go with different quarterbacks this Saturday?
No, he hasn't, but I mean, just saying that Peyton didn't respond, his shoulder didn't respond the way they wanted yesterday, I would say makes it look much more likely that we won't be seeing Peyton except perhaps in an emergency situation Saturday.
Yes. Right. Hey, so kind of what I thought. So here's the question, and I guess I could ask both of you, number one and then number two, what you think the fans' perspective is going to be. What does a successful game from a new quarterback look like? How would we grade success? How do you think the fans would grade success?
I would say the first thing is no turnovers if possible. That would be the first one, and that the offense seems to run smoothly. I wouldn't say it has to be a certain number of passing yards or touchdowns or things like that. This ULM team, as we've talked about a couple of times here during the show, has really struggled stopping the run. After the first couple of games of the year, they've given up about 200 yards a game on the ground, had two teams rush for over 300 against them. So, you know, the quarterback may not have to throw a lot, but I would guess that ULM is going to make every effort that they can to try to stop the run, and that should create some one-on-one opportunities, and that would be something that whatever quarterback is in there should have an opportunity to take advantage of. I think you'd love to see a few explosive plays in the passing game and limit the turnovers.
Hey, Coach, you got a question for you. You've been around this game a minute. Let's say you're the one making the call. So how would you structure the game? Would you go two series per quarterback? Would you go, I'm going to give a quarter to one, a quarter to another? Or do I just kind of go in there with one, and if he keeps the hot hand, I stick with him? What would you do?
I would probably go with the hot hand. And then hopefully that we got a big enough lead, comfortable, and felt good about the game, then start inserting the younger guys or the other however you rotate them.
Yeah, Mike, what I would think, and again, I haven't coached, but it would seem like if there's a possibility of Peyton having – I mean, we don't know, but for all we know, Peyton's shoulder may prevent him from really being able to play for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have to, you're going to have somebody else that you might need out there, I'd play him a pretty good bit. As long as he's playing well, I think I'd stick with my starter well into the third quarter and hope that I have the ball game put away. But because Hank Brown or Holden or Walker, whoever, needs as many snaps as possible to get ready for Texas A&M and Alabama.
Absolutely. All right, fellas, appreciate it. Have a great night.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Mike.
Thank you.
I mean, that's just my feeling about that because, you know, I'd heard a couple of things, and we don't know the complete story with Peyton's shoulder, but I'm a little skeptical that he's just going to be able to bounce back. If it's been a week and a half since he hurt that shoulder and he struggled yesterday on the first day of practice, this is something that could take a while. I mean, if you've ever had a bad shoulder, you've ever had any problems with your shoulder, and a week of rest doesn't help it. It's probably not going to get a whole lot better after you get out and try to stress it in a practice.
Yeah, you're right, Bill. The shoulder, the back, and your knee, those are things you have to use almost everything you do in football. So, yeah, that's tough, and especially your throwing arm. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like, I wish I knew how things were – how the pecking order was today,
right. Yeah.
At practice, because this is the big day.
Today would have been a
big
day. Yeah, if he wasn't 100% today, I may hold him.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because
you're
going to need him.
You probably will. And as much as we've heard people say, all right, let's see what the new guys can do. Yeah. If there's an opportunity that you could use Peyton to make a play that maybe another one of the quarterbacks can't make, you'd sure like to have him available. But you would hope that you could get through the ULM game without him.
Yeah, that would be the perfect deal right there.
Yep. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Auburn basketball tonight as they take on Kent State.